I found a small, quiet room a bit further away from everyone in the program so I can record these short interviews. Somewhere in the distance, the participants are engaged in a workshop about power structures and privileges. But in this little secluded room, we can only hear ourselves. The title and theme of this year's program was Zwischen Realitäten, Between Realities, and we explored this topic through various activities and classes. I find myself thinking about this theme again as I work on the podcast. Sometimes I feel that the record button itself can separate one reality from another. Would I have been able to ask my question about disappearance if I didn't have the excuse of this record button? Would I have been able to experience these little openings, each time a tiny glimpse into someone's experience, not through the setting of recording an interview? Adi sits in front of the microphone. This is his second year in the program, and this year he took on the massive task of managing the entire kitchen, a crazy responsibility and a different reality within the program itself. And yes, the food was amazing, a reflection of his love and care. Interview number 9.
My name is Adi. I'm 24 years old. No, I'm 25 years old, actually. And I sort post. I don't know how to say this. I only know how to say it in Dutch. Yeah, I'm surprisingly quite happy with where I am. I don't feel like I want to go to university or anything. Yeah. I don't know how to introduce myself anymore, I think.
I Think I Saw You is a podcast dedicated to exploring our human disappearance. Every episode features an interview with a different person. In this season, I recorded the participants and faculty members of the program Generation J, each of whom reflected on their own thoughts and experiences of disappearance. I think I saw you, Adi, right when you disappeared.
There have been times when I've had a feeling where I've wanted to disappear, but I was like, oh, I can't disappear. I'm still here. When I think of a moment where I felt very seen or very heard, my first thought is that there is no thought. Because often I'm the one doing a lot of work in my friendships to let my friends know that they're seen and that they're heard and holding space for them. But for me, it's quite rare to feel like I'm being seen or to feel like I'm being heard. And maybe that's related to love languages. You know, maybe people do show me love in different ways, but I just don't think of that as being seen or being heard. There was this one time I was at this Halloween party in Boston. I was at this queer house and they were hosting this big party, and these were students who were going to Harvard, MIT, and there I started talking to this guy. His name is Che. And it was very interesting. It was the first time in my life that I knew that he liked me, like through our body language and the way we were talking with each other. I was definitely letting him know that I like him, but it was also very obvious that he liked me too in that moment. And I think that's one of the few times where I felt, I don't know how to fully describe it, but that was like one of the first times in my life that I was like, okay, I think I feel seen by this person in a way that I like to be seen or the way I want to be seen. When I think of a moment where I wish I could just completely disappear, I often think about my childhood and I often think about my school. I went to a private school in India until the age of 16. It was a very difficult experience for me because I was surrounded by people who were very different in class. So that was one dynamic. But also, I was the only effeminate boy in the entire class. And I don't remember a single day that I did not get verbally abused or physically abused, bullied intensely. So often I would think about, oh, I wish people would just not see me, or I could just have one day in peace. And now that I think back on those times, I realize that I actually don't even remember a lot of, if you ask me who my classmates were, what their names were, I can't recall them. I don't remember the names of my teachers. It's just not there. So I think my sense of wanting to disappear was so strong, I actually don't have memories of that time. I know how it felt and the intense things that happened, or the only memories I have are those of being bullied or something violent is happening. I don't have any other, just regular memories. So when I think of my younger self, if I would give myself any tips on how to disappear, I don't think I would, because there was nothing wrong with me. It's the other people that had a problem. Yeah, people continue even today to have problems with different aspects of different people's appearance or personality or the way they dress up or the way their gender presentation is or their race or any class symbols, any visible disabilities. And I wouldn't tell my younger self to disappear or to try to fit in or to try and do something to hide myself, because I was already doing that as a kid. I think what I needed to hear at that time was that there is indeed nothing wrong with me. The hard thing was that I was the only advocating voice for myself. So I would tell myself to find other people who are also standing up for themselves. I know that, like, this question can be, this idea of completely disappearing can be interpreted in different ways, like hiding somewhere or not being seen. But that's not how I think about disappearing. I think of being in a big city that has millions and millions of people, and no one knows you, and just being able to go about your day, having the ability to just exist as a human being. And often those things are related to privilege. Some things are related to class. Those things are related to race and gender. I think as a brown person living in a white majority country, which is the Netherlands, I rarely feel like I can disappear. Or what I'm trying to say is I rarely feel like I can just go by my day without something happening. In the last year and a half that I've been living in the Netherlands, I've had many, many racist incidents happen to me. And they make me realize how not colorblind people are, or how visible I am because of my brownness in a white majority space. Yeah, I'm constantly reminded of my own existence, that I exist and I exist in a certain way and I'm seen in a certain way. Yeah, I would just like to go about my day and do my thing, make art freely or try to find a job more easily. And I think that is my idea of completely disappearing. And I think, yeah, a lot of straight white men move through the world in that way. You know, So I wish I could have that sense of, yeah, not being aware of the way I move through the world or the way I'm seen by others, but I am. It's just something that I've never had, I feel, and I experience an incredible amount of jealousy. Yeah, I mean, I don't know the kind of person I would be if I got this sort of chance to disappear in this way, but I can give a small example. When I go to the grocery store, I'm the only brown man in the grocery store. When a white straight man walks into the grocery store, he doesn't have to think about being seen, you know? But when I enter the grocery store, I see five heads turn. And they look, and then they look away. Usually people don't really smile. I will do the usual small town hello or hoi, which is what everyone does in the Netherlands. But I don't ever experience a moment that I'm not seen. But a different white dude walking into the grocery store, if he just wanted to, I don't know, go get a beer at the grocery store, he could just go and get a beer at the grocery store. For me, if I want to get a beer at the grocery store, I will go into the grocery store and I will get five different stares. I know that I'm seen. I don't experience this kind of disappearance that other people get to experience.
I Think I Saw You is created, produced, recorded, designed, and edited by me, Eyal Davidovich. Original music was composed and performed by me as well. Mixing and additional sound design by the legendary Jan Brett. The podcast is supported by Paideia, the European Institute for Jewish Studies in Sweden. Find and follow Art and Time Machines on Instagram for more about this appearance, and subscribe to the podcast wherever you get your podcasts.